Could a dream Joseph Smith Sr. often told his family when Joseph Smith Jr. was a boy make it into the Book of Mormon? It seems more than coincidental that Lehi's dream had similar components and a parallel storyline. Hello, I'm Max, your host. Welcome to the Come Follow Me podcast. This lesson plan covers 1 Nephi chapters 8 through 10. Make sure you subscribe to be notified of our upcoming videos, and share this post with your friends. Before we begin, I want to mention something important in our study of the Book of Mormon. In our previous lesson, covering 1 Nephi 1 through 7, I pointed out that we're going to see a lot of New Testament words and phrases in the Book of Mormon. This is approximately 600 years before Christ in the Book of Mormon, and we are reading words lifted from the King James New Testament that was written nearly 700 years later, between 50 and 90 AD. And now, I realize the credit also needs to be given to the King James Old Testament as an original source for the Book of Mormon. So I will be giving attention to the entire Bible from now on. I give tribute to the comprehensive work of Dan Wiese in his exhaustive work, The Bible to the Book of Mormon Comparative. Now let's get started. After Nephi and his brothers returned from their woman-gathering mission in Jerusalem, it came to pass in 1 Nephi 8:2 that Lehi told his sons, quote, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream," or in other words, "I have seen a vision." The phrase, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream," is the same as in Genesis 37:9. 1 Nephi 8:5, in this dream, Lehi saw, quote,
"A man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me."
1 Nephi 8:6, the words, quote, "He spoke unto me and," end quote, is the same as in Ezekiel 2:2. 1 Nephi 8:7, the man told him to follow him into a, quote,
"dark and dreary waste."
1 Nephi 8:9, after many hours of walking, Lehi, quote,
"beheld a large and spacious field."
1 Nephi 8:10, then Lehi sees, quote,
"a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy."
The phrase, quote, "I beheld a tree," is similar to Daniel 4:10. I don't know how he knew it was desirable, but he helped himself to the unidentified fruit and described it in 1 Nephi 8:11 as, quote,
"most sweet, above all that I ever before tasted."
And he describes its appearance, quote,
"the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen."
Now you will see in our study of the Book of Mormon that being white is the best thing that can happen. This fruit was not only white, but white to exceed all the whiteness that had ever been seen. The tree is the primary symbol in three significant sections in the Book of Mormon, showing the development of Nephite theology. There's Lehi's dream here in 1 Nephi 8, Zenos' allegory in Jacob 5, and Alma's discourses on righteousness in Alma 5 and 32. 1 Nephi 8:12, Lehi says, "the fruit filled his soul with exceeding great joy," a similar phrase found in Matthew 2:10. He was so joyful that he wanted his family to eat from the tree. 1 Nephi 8:14, as Lehi looked around for his family, he saw a river of water and some members of his family, Sariah and Sam and Nephi, standing a little way off. 1 Nephi 8:15, it says he beckoned unto them and, same in Luke 1:22, and told them to come eat of the joyful fruit, so they did. Then when Lehi saw Laman and Lemuel up the river, he invited them to come eat the fruit, but they refused. As a parent, that had to be disappointing. 1 Nephi 8:18, the phrase, "them but they would not," is the same in 2 Chronicles 24:19. In Lehi's dream, 1 Nephi 8:19, Lehi saw, quote, "a rod of iron," along the bank of the river, and in 1 Nephi 8:20 through 22, a straight and narrow path where numberless concourses of people were pressing forward to arrive at the tree. The phrase, "that they might attain," is the same in Hebrews 11:35. 1 Nephi 8:23, there was a great mist of darkness, as in 2 Peter 2:17, that caused those people to lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. The phrase, quote, "and it came to pass that there arose," is similar to 1 Chronicles 29:4. Some people managed to find the tree by hanging on to the rod of iron, but almost immediately they became ashamed for some reason. The words in 1 Nephi 8:24, quote, "the end of the rod," end quote, is the same as in 1 Samuel 14:43. 1 Nephi 8:25, the phrase, quote, "of the fruit of the tree," end quote, is the same as in Genesis 3:3. 1 Nephi 8:26 28, "then Lehi looked around and saw," quote, "a great and spacious building floating in the air." The words, quote, "high above the earth," is the same in Psalms 103, verse 11. It was filled with people in fine dress who were mocking and pointing their fingers at those eating the joyful fruit. The words, "both old and young," is the same in Genesis 19:4. And those who were ashamed because of the scoffing fell away into the forbidden paths and were lost. I guess they couldn't handle the negative social pressure. 1 Nephi 8:30, "but Lehi saw the other crowds of people who grabbed hold of the rod and held on until they reached the tree and could eat the delicious fruit." 1 Nephi 8:31-32, "some of the ashamed fruit eaters made their way back to the great and spacious building, but many either drowned or wandered in strange roads." The phrase, "were drowned in the depths of the," is similar to Matthew 18:6. 1 Nephi 8:33, "those that made it into the big building in the sky began pointing fingers of scorn at the joyful fruit eaters below." When the dream ended, Laman and Lemuel had not eaten the fruit. As a concerned parent, Lehi feared for Laman and Lemuel, lest they should be cast off from the presence of the Lord. Nephi's father in 600 BC and Joseph Smith's father 2,400 years later are both reported to have had many dreams. One of the dreams Joseph Smith Sr. had in 1811, 16 years before Joseph Smith got the gold plates, was recorded by Joseph Smith's mother, Lucy Mack Smith, in her biographical sketches of Joseph Smith, pages 58 through 59. There is strong similarity between Joseph Smith Sr.'s dream and that of Lehi's dream recorded in 1 Nephi 8. Both state that they were traveling. Both mention a field. Both compared the field to a world. Both have a guide. Both mention a broad road. Both mention a narrow path. Both mention a stream of water. Both mention something like a rod or rope extended along the banks of a stream. Both mention a tree. Both mentioned the beauty of the tree. Both trees bore fruit. Both compared the whiteness of the fruit to snow. Both ate of the fruit. Both found it to be very delicious. Both wanted their families to partake of the fruit. Both families came and partook of the fruit. After eating the fruit, both experienced great joy. Both mentioned a spacious building that reached high into the air. Both buildings were filled with people who were finely dressed and pointed the finger of scorn at those partaking of the fruit. Both state they ignored the people in the building. Both state the meaning of the fruit is pure love of God. Both state two members of the family are not present. Both mention the fall of the building. Both imply that pride was connected with the building or its inhabitants. This is the same story in almost every detail. Were these dreams revelations? Were they inspiration? Were they simply coincidental? Or is there an intent for Joseph Smith to tell his father's dream in the narrative of the Book of Mormon? You'll have to decide. In 1941, the Stella 5 stone carving was found in the Temple Yard Court at the ancient ruined city called Izapa, in the southwestern corner of Mexico, near the Guatemalan border. As a slab of volcanic stone, it measures about 8 feet high, 5 feet wide, and 2 feet thick. Archaeologists have dated it between 300 BC to 100 AD. Some Mormon scholars saw resemblances in the carving of the stone that prominently depict a tree, which they interpret to be the tree of life, in Lehi's dream. It is easy to speculate about it, But no LDS prophet has come out and said members of the church need to treat it with anything more than a curiosity. Today, it is considered by most archaeologists and scholars to most likely be a representation of a creation myth. In chapter 9, Nephi makes two sets of records. Each is called the Plates of Nephi. The larger plates contain a secular history. The smaller plates dealt primarily with sacred things. In verse 5, God told Nephi to make both sets of plates for a wise purpose. But Nephi had no idea what that purpose was. Of course, Joseph Smith knew the purpose, because he needed a way out of a predicament he found himself in. His early scribe, Martin Harris, had lost the first 116 pages of the Book of Mormon manuscripts, which consisted of the Book of Lehi. Without a backup copy, Joseph was challenged to reproduce them since he claimed to have the plates. No problem, right? Except when Joseph was once again permitted to translate, he was told by God not to go back and retranslate from the same plates. Rather than retranslating from the large plates of Nephi, Joseph was instructed to use the small plates of Nephi. Can you imagine how much extra work it would have taken young Nephi to find ore in the Arabian desert, no less, smelt it to get metal out, carefully pound the metal into thin enough sheets to enable engraving, and then painstakingly engrave this separate record of plates? So, at the end of chapter 8, Nephi has now finished his basic summary or abridgment of his father's record. And chapter 9 is the translation between the abridgment and the beginning of Nephi's record of his own life and the proceedings which he engraved also on the small plates. You got all that? Good. Now we're going to look at chapter 10. And my friends, there is a great deal to say about it. Lehi is going to prophesy about the Jews in a big way. Once again, I will point out as we read these verses that there are many parallel phrases between the Book of Mormon and the King James Old and New Testaments. 1 Nephi 10:3, Jerusalem is about to be destroyed, and, quote, many carried away captive into Babylon. Babylon was a powerful enemy nation about 500 miles east of Jerusalem, located in today's country of Iraq. After their exile, the Jews will be brought back to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. The phrase, carry away captive unto Babylon, is similar to Jeremiah 41, 1 Nephi 10:4. Then, 600 years from the time of Lehi, referring to Jesus, quote,
a prophet would the Lord God raise up among the Jews, even a Messiah, or in other words, a Savior of the world.
The phrase, Savior of the world, is also found in John 4:42 and 1 John 4:14. 1 Nephi 10:5, Lehi says there were a great number of other prophets who testified of this Messiah, or this Redeemer of the world. However, Jews never believed in such things, because neither did the prophets who wrote the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, in the first place. It would be completely impossible for Jews to believe in a Messiah who would be the Redeemer of the world. 1 Nephi 10:7. Lehi also spoke about a prophet who would come before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. 1 Nephi 10:8. Lehi even quotes this prophet referring to John the Baptist, who will, quote,
cry in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight.
The same wording as in Matthew 3:3.
For there standeth one among you whom ye know not.
The same in John 1:26.
And he is mightier than I.
Same as in Luke 3:17.
Whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.
Same as in John 1:27. 1 Nephi 10:9. Lehi said that he would baptize in Berthabra, beyond Jordan, the same as in John 1:28, and that he should, quote, baptize with water, same as in John 1:26. 1 Nephi 10:10,
the Lamb of God who should take away the sins of the world,
the same wording as in John 1:29. The phrase Lamb of God is unique to John 1:29 and 36. However, it is used 33 times throughout the Book of Mormon as early as 600 BC. 1 Nephi 10:11, after the Jews killed the Messiah,
he should rise from the dead.
Same as in John 20:9, and, quote,
make himself manifest by the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles.
1 Nephi 10:12, the phrases, the house of Israel, that they, is the same in Ezekiel 43:10, and, quote, be broken off, and, is the same in Romans 11:17. Lehi says the house of Israel should be scattered, and that's why they were being led to the Promised Land. But eventually, they would be gathered again, quote, after the Gentiles had received the fullness of the gospel. Then, quote, the natural branches of the olive tree should be grafted in, similar to Romans 11:24. Lehi spoke these things by, quote, the power of the Holy Ghost, same as in Romans 15:13. Hold on. 1 Nephi 10:14 says, quote, the Gentiles had received the fullness of the gospel. But it wasn't until Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 1 about the mysteries of his will that the house of Israel, the Jews, knew that the fullness of the gospel was going to include the Gentiles. Paul reveals for the first time ever the knowledge that had been kept a mystery all throughout the Old Testament, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, after Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, God would gather together in one all things, meaning the Jews and Gentile nations in Christ. This mystery was unfolded to those first century Christians then, and not anachronistically in 600 BC by Lehi. The phrases, should be gathered together, is the same in Genesis 29:7, and, quote, natural branches should be grafted in, is similar to Romans 11:24. 1 Nephi 10:17, Nephi says he desires to have a vision where he could see the same things as his father by the power of the Holy Ghost unto all who, quote, diligently seek him, which is the same in Hebrews 11:6. Nephi will be granted that vision in our next lesson. 1 Nephi 10:18,
for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever,
is the same in Hebrews 13:8.
Prepared for all men from the foundation of the world,
is the same in Matthew 25:34. 1 Nephi 10:19,
for he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them.
The phrase, quote, mysteries of God, is used twice by Paul and once by John in the New Testament. However, the Book of Mormon uses this phrase 8 times as early as 600 BC. Then, Nephi ends the chapter by cautioning the readers that there is no second chance for salvation. Verses 20 through 21.
Therefore, remember, O man, for all thy doings thou shalt be brought into judgment. Wherefore, if ye have sought to do wickedly in the days of your probation, then ye are found unclean before the judgment seat of God, and no unclean thing can dwell with God. Wherefore, ye must be cast off forever.
Alma 34:32-35 also strongly warns that, quote, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. However, modern Mormonism teaches that those who have not heard and received the gospel while in mortality will have an opportunity to do so in the life hereafter. That is contrary to what the Book of Mormon teaches. The Come Follow Me manual makes the statement that the ancient prophets knew about Jesus Christ's mission and testified of him. The title of Christ is from the Greek word Christos, which is the translation of the Hebrew word Messias, which means anointed one. The word Christ never appears in the Hebrew Old Testament, and we would only see Messias used twice in the Greek New Testament. Messias is only mentioned twice in the entire Old Testament, yet it is used 26 times in the Book of Mormon during the Old Testament era. The Greek term Christ is never used in the Old Testament, yet it is used 186 times in the Book of Mormon during the Old Testament era. In one instance, the name and title Jesus Christ is used 2,000 years before he is even born. Linguistic anachronisms are a glaring issue in the Book of Mormon. so we will have to get used to recognizing them throughout our study. And this concludes our study for today. Please subscribe so you won't miss our future episodes. You can catch us on YouTube, iTunes Podcast, Spotify Podcast, and Google Podcast. Or you can go to our website, talkingtomormons.com, where you can download the script and learn much more. Remember, Jesus is all you need. Until next time, God bless.